were you aware that Lenny was going to leave at the end of the season?
I had an idea. I think Lenny felt he had it was the right time for him to kind of move on. It was a sad time to see Lenny go, you know, because Lenny was terrific for the club, as everybody loves him at the club, but he drove everybody. Mm-hmm. He was an inspirational figure, and he still is. He still is to the fans and to the people that have worked with him. You always got him the one way. He was honest. He was upfront, and he told you what he thought, which was great.
And did you think you had a chance of getting the captaincy at all?
No, I remember it. I remember coming back in the first day of pre-season, and I remember Gordon coming in and speaking to me again. Typical Gordon. He came in and said, "Right, we're looking to get a new contract." And I'm saying, "All right." He says, "But you're only going to become the captain of the club if you sign your new contract." And I'm kind of looking, saying, "Is he even serious, or is he kidding on here?" I didn't really know what was, because everything just happened kind of that quick. And he says, "But I'm going to take my time, and I'll have a think about it the next 2 or 3 weeks and see kind of what's happening." So it was. I never kind of gave it much of a thought at the time. I think the year before that, I remember being pre-season games in Poland, and Lenny wasn't there. And I remember I came in, and the kit man had left the armband and the pendant at my place. And I remember being quite embarrassed, because I thought, I've only played one full season here, and I'm a wee bit embarrassed to be wearing the captain of the club at that, even for a game. But it was an unbelievable honour, you know. I was. All the way through your career, people have always looked at you as being a kind of leader figure, which it's always been a massive compliment for myself. But I've always just tried to be the way I've always been. I never tried to be anybody different. And if other people looked at and seen attributes that fitted the bill for whatever it may be, then great. But it was a massive, massive honour, you know.
Can you remember the day he made it official then it was going to be?
I can remember. He pulled me in, and at this point the contract talks were going quite well, and I knew I was going to.
How much were you on?
No kidding. And I remember getting that over the line, which was great. I was playing every single week at the time, and it was the right place for me to continue my development as a player. I loved the time there, and it was to become the captain of Celtic. You know, I grew up, Paul McStay was my hero growing up. And to be mentioned along with names like that, who to me I always just looked at being the guy that came through Celtic's academy, and was lucky enough to play off somebody. That said to me, I'd have played for Celtic for a minute, I would have been absolutely over the moon. And to have done it on so many occasions, to have won trophies, to have captained the club, I'm really thankful for everybody at the football club that gave me that opportunity.
So there was no big spiel for the manager, that just you're the captain?
No,
that was it.
Was he always like that? He was always like that with me, you know, and I would have been really uncomfortable with a big unveiling. I've always been the type that kind of things are down key, and that's just how I've been as a person, so it was great for me.
So Gordon makes you captain, and then soon to be neighbour as well.
Yep, he was. Listen, it was only a short period of time, but it definitely had its benefits, which weren't many, but it definitely had its downsides. And I remember playing golf one. I remember being suspended, and I remember my dad phoning me on a Friday night, and he was like, "Look, I've got a tee off time at Bothwell. Do you want to play tomorrow morning?" So it was obviously a Saturday morning. So I was suspended obviously for that game. So I thought, I've been able to play golf on a Saturday morning. So I'm quite a keen golfer. So I remember standing in the fourth hole at Bothwell, and the houses live just behind the green. So I remember taking my driver out, and I remember booming one right down the middle, which doesn't happen very often, let me tell you. So I've got carrying the clubs kind of thing. So again, I've got, I don't know, whatever yardage I think I've got, I don't know, 150 yards or whatever it is. So I get the club at 9 iron or something like that. And I remember hitting it, and I heard it to about 6 feet or something. But in the corner, I could see somebody standing in the balcony, and they've got the binoculars.
No way.
Aye, he's got the binoculars. So I'm thinking, saying, "Oh no, I don't believe this." I'm saying, "Surely that's not a gaffer." So he walks up, and all I hear is a shout, "Oh! Oh!" I look up and I'm like, "Can I mean?" He was like, "Oh, you shouldn't be playing golf. Don't care if you're suspended." And I'm like, "All right, missed the putt." Think I three putted or something, and that was me.
That was the game finished?
No, I mean, no, I played the rest of the holes, but running into the game, it was like, I can't believe you were playing golf this morning. So anyway, that was one.
Is he a good neighbour? Did you take his bins out in that?
No, I never. Yeah. It was no, nothing like that. I had to get pelters for that.
Back in the Champions League, in your first year as captain, scored against AC Milan. Yep. Where does that game rank in your career?
Right up there. Right up. Any of the games that you won in the Champions League that had meaning, because again, that game, I think we scored a last minute goal against Milan. I think we scored a last minute goal against Shakhtar Donetsk. And at the time, you don't realise. At that time, we were looking at it, saying, "How do we get to the next eight? Never mind the last 16." Whereas it's only when you sit back and reflect, and it's came and went, that you actually think, God, what an opportunity and what an achievement that it was for all the players.
What did you make of the Dida incident? He went down like a sack of tatties.
I just remember the punter coming on and kind of, at the time you're thinking, what's kind of going on? And then the boy goes and slapped him. Kind of, they're just typical a European nights at Celtic Park, you know.
Obviously, there was a chance of points deduction. Was that in the players' heads, or was it?
It was.
Was it? Any boys speak about it?
Aye, we were just kind of hoping that we were going to be all right, because we knew we had a chance to qualify again. And that was in the back of our mind, definitely. Uh-huh. Definitely, because we knew what was at stake.
You said again, you scored it late against Shakhtar Donetsk to get to the last 16. What was it about that team that they had the ability to do that? Fitness, was it?
I think Gordon certainly drove it. You know, I think it was a mixture of self-belief, it was a mixture of fitness, it was all about the team, it was all about... Back then, we had individuals that were special players. Naka was a special talent, Aidan was a special talent. You had individuals, but they worked within the team. They worked within a team ethic, and the strength was always the team.
Celtic lost. You lost, what was it, 7 games to go against Motherwell?
Yeah,
it looked like the league was over.
Mm-hmm.
Did the boys think it was over? Or would you never allow yourself?
We knew Rangers still had a lot of games to play. Mm-hmm. I remember Barry Robson coming into the side at that point, because Barry had came in from Dundee United that January.
Uh-huh.
And I think Bruni might have got suspended, you know. Mm-hmm. In one of the games, and Robbo came in for Scott, and Robbo and Zico were absolutely terrific together, you know, but we just felt it was, I know it's an old cliche, but you went into it believing that you would win every game. And again, that comes to the management staff, you know, that came for all the aim, a real belief that, especially at that time, at what was kind of going on. Mm-hmm. It was, Lenny had come back at that point, obviously we knew Tommy was ill at that point, and it was a real difficult period for everybody at the football club, you know.
Robbo and Zico were brilliant in the Old Firm games, weren't they? Are they the games that kind of made you think we can
it
get
was.
Them back?
Listen, we knew that if we had to have any chance of winning the league whatsoever, you had to win both games. And that was the pressure that we had to deal with being a Celtic player at that time and a Rangers player at that time.
Mm-hmm. Last game of the season, Tannadice. How were the nerves building up to that? Squeaky bums.
Aye, big time. Big time, because you knew it was at stake. And I remember the first, I think Dundee United had maybe two or three 1-1s in the first 10 minutes. So I think there was a real edge about the place. But I remember, I'm trying to think if Big Jan scored the header, but I think Aberdeen might have either scored just before that or just after it. And the full place just went absolutely out of control. I remember some of the Dundee United players were buzzing. Mm-hmm. As well.
Were they?
Aye, some of them were buzzing. That sticks in my mind. I wouldn't name names, but that sticks in my mind as well. But it was just a massive relief, you know, because like I said, everything that had went on, certainly with Tommy, you know, it was, we all wanted, you were desperate to win that league for him, you know, and for his family, and because that was the hardest period.
See, before the game, obviously you being the captain, would you do things to help boys settle their nerves?
No, I always felt you tried to make sure you were doing your job the best you possibly could, and then everybody kind of, if you could lead that way. Mm-hmm. I think when I was younger, or like I said, I touched on it, I was emotional, you were shouting, but as you got older, you kind of mellow down a wee bit and you just trust your experience. But a lot of us had been over the course before. As well, so we were all very similar in age, which was a big thing. There was only maybe 2 or 3 years of a difference between the majority of us in the group, so we're all very similar, with similar interests, similar things that we like to do away from the pitch, on the pitch. So it was a real togetherness.
Yeah. I asked Barry Ferguson this as well. Does it mean more to you when you win the league as a captain? Does it feel better?
It definitely felt really special to me. The best one for me was my first ever one as well, you know, but it's amazing when I lifted the trophy, you know, and all the Celtic fans that are sitting all over the stadium, you can pick out your family, which was pretty special for me. Aye, that was a big moment for me, and it was the same representing Scotland as well. The first time I played for Scotland, the national anthem was singing. It's amazing that everybody in the stadium, and you can pick out your family.
Obviously, Tommy passed away. How was Gordon Strachan's talk in the dressing room afterwards?
Oh, everybody was just so relieved. You know, everybody was really emotional at the time because we knew
tears.
It was really emotional. You just felt the weight of everything that was going on. It really took its toll on everybody. And it was like I say, we just felt it was the best way that we could thank Tommy and for everything that he had done. Certainly, us as younger players coming through. He was terrific for us. Uh-huh.
2008, 2009 wasn't a very successful one. Why do you think that was?
I think at that point I thought Gordon would have left after that
Tommy,
that summer. I thought he would have left.
Do you think he thought about leaving?
I think he did. Uh-huh. I think he did, but I think he obviously felt that he would go for it one last time. And it never went. We were on a really good run. I think we beat Rangers 1-0 away from home at Ibrox. And then we were 2-0 up, I'm sure, against Dundee United the week after that, and we drew 2-2. And that was disappointing. And you could see things weren't starting to go our way. Rangers went on a good run as well. So, but back then, it was the two teams were very similar. They were really, really very similar. You know, similar characters. You had, at that point, there was a lot of players in Scotland set up for both teams. So they were very, very similar.
Mm-hmm. Was Strachan different that last year?
No, he was still the same. He was still the same. He was always very driven. Mm-hmm. Obviously Lenny came in at that point as well. But I think you could feel it was everybody missed. You missed Tommy, no doubt about it. But I felt over the course of the year we weren't as good as what Rangers were that year, and that was where it went wrong.
But see, when you know you've got an idea the manager's going to leave at the end of the season, does it affect the players?
I wouldn't have said then. You were too busy concentrating and trying to win, just focus on the winning the games. When you're at a club like Celtic, you know, it's your only focus is on you win a game and it's relief, and then you move on to the next one, and then the same pressure builds up, and then you win another game, and then you just move on to the next one. So it's very difficult to think of anything else other than trying to win your next game.
Yeah. You talked about all the highs you've had as a captain. Yeah. See, when you get beat and you lose big games, does it affect you?
Absolutely horrendous. Yeah. Horrendous.
Even more so when you're a captain?
Absolutely. Because you think it's all your fault. Mm-hmm. 100%. Because you feel as if you're carrying the can for every single person at the football club. So that was a learning curve for me. But like I say, I tried to handle it. On the pitch, off the pitch, in the best way that I possibly could have.
Obviously, Gordon Strachan leaves and Big Mogga comes in. What was your first impressions of the new coaching setup?
My first meeting kind of thing, or should I say, I went into a restaurant to pick up something to eat in Hamilton, and the waiter says to me, "Oh," he said, "I can't believe you're not going to be the Celtic captain." And I said, "Is that right?" And he went, "It's in the paper." So I had missed, in the previous campaign, I think it was maybe the last six or seven games of the season. I had to get a microfracture done in my knee. So I was out for three and a half, four months. So that then went all the way into pre-season, and I thought, manager's, Gordon's obviously left, the new manager's come in. Common practice for me would have been that a new manager comes in and he touches base with the club captain, but he never ever did that. And then obviously I walk into a restaurant and a waiter tells me that I'm not going to be the club captain. I thought, all right. So there was warning signs kind of straight away. So I obviously goes back. I was in all the way through the summer because I was injured. And I was in the gym and I seen the manager walk by the gym and he kind of looked in and I thought, he'll come in and shout me. So he must have walked down the corridor maybe 5 or 6 yards and then thought, I better go and speak to Stephen. So he shouted me in, to be fair, and I sat down and I spoke to him and I says to Tony straight away, I was like, look, I says, I will never influence any decision that you make. You pick whoever you want to be who's going to be your club captain. You pick whoever you think's the best for the job. I've got no problem either way. I'll always try and perform the best way I possibly can. I've been successful here, and I want to continue that. And I'm doing everything I possibly can to get back fit. And I says, but what I would say is if you decide to go with somebody else, then I would appreciate it. And I think I've earned the respect to tell me man to man, first of all. And he was great. He was really, really good. Was up front, was honest. He says, no, you'll be the captain of the club. You've earned it, blah, blah, blah. And he was really, really good at that time. I then come back for injury, and I played. And the team wasn't performing the way we should have been. Then we went to Ibrox, and we never played well. I think we got beat. I think me and Glenn Louvins played at centre half, and we were poor. We weren't good on the day, both myself and the rest of the team. And I remember the next day, the headline in the paper that the manager had obviously went out and said that he wishes he had Bobo Baldy and Chris Sutton and Henrik Larsson and Alan Thompson, and as a player who's an experienced player at that point now, and you've earned your stripes. That was quite tough to take, not just for me personally, but for a lot of boys that were in that similar time in their career. So then he came and asked how I was feeling, and I told him what I thought. Just in the manner that I would always do it, face to face, and he was great. But he decided to go away. I then never played again for a wee bit, which was fine. You get that in football where some managers rate you more than others, which I had no problem with. Then Gordon obviously got the job at Middlesbrough, and he phoned me, and at this time I wasn't playing at Celtic, and he said, look, would you come and loan to Middlesbrough? And it'd be fair to Tony pulled me straight in and was like, look, it's up to you. And I said, well, look, I'm not playing. I'm the captain of the club. I need to be playing. If I'm not playing, I would like to go elsewhere and just play, because you're in the Scotland setup at this time. If you're not playing for your club, it's hard to continue to be a regular for your country. So that was, we agreed to go to Middlesbrough. And listen, Tony always said that he would be up front, and he was. So he just didn't like me the way that he did other players.
So what do you think went wrong with his time? Why do you think it never went right?
I don't know. I think he was, whether it was he was wanting to change things quicker, get his own style of play and his own players. He obviously felt us as players weren't good enough for to play in his team, which that's a manager's prerogative. Mm-hmm. And he moved us on.
Do players talk amongst themselves?
Oh, you're always going to get 100%, you know, but I've always been the type that if you're going to say something, I think it's you earn respect by speaking to people face to face, and I always did that with the manager and with Tony, and he done it with me, so I would never have had any problems with that whatsoever.
Because Peter Grant was there as well, yep. Wasn't he? Did Grant ever speak to you?
Aye, Grant was good. Grant's a very good coach. Mm-hmm. So a really, really good coach. Mark Venus was there. But it just you could get a feel that it was going to be a difficult period at that time. Listen, David, I've no doubt the staff would be extremely critical of us as players. That's just the way it goes. But you can only treat somebody how they are with you as an individual and how you are with them. And I had no problems with Tony as a person at all.
But gutting to leave Celtic?
I was hard. Of course, it was hard, but it was the right time. Mm-hmm. It was the right time because I was... You can overstay your welcome as well, and I wasn't playing at Celtic at the time, and the loan move came up to work under a manager who I knew wanted me to be... Footballers want to feel wanted, they want to play, mm-hmm. and I was no different, and that was me.
So you head down to Middlesbrough, yep. a busload of Scottish players.
Yep.
How many was it? Was there five, six?
No, at that time there wasn't.
No?
Because... in fact, no, I tell a lie, there was, when I think about it.
Megabus.
There was. I went down on loan, and the week before I went down, there was Barry Robson and Willow Flood went down. I think Chris Killen had just went down as well. But he doesn't count because he's from New Zealand.
Right.
And then I then signed, and Scott McDonald and Lee Miller come down as well, which was incredible.
Uh-huh. And Kevin Thompson as well?
They never come down to the summer.
Summer, right.
They never come down to the summer. Tom and Boyd, they come down in the summer.
And how did you find Middlesbrough?
Loved it.
What's the differences though between Middlesbrough and...
The demands and the pressures are just night and day. Night and day. And I only ever knew one thing, because you had grown up in this environment. I thought everywhere in the world was the exact same as Glasgow, and the intensity, I had no problem with the intensity up here, the way I live in, because that's how I was brought up. And I went down to Middlesbrough and I was blown away by... just how quiet, and you could walk through in your Middlesbrough tracksuit. And I went and got a Chinese after a game one day, and I walked by like four people with Middlesbrough strips, and not a word spoken to you. And I thought this was absolutely unbelievable. Some people don't like it. Mm-hmm. Usually what you find is centre forwards and people that crave the limelight don't like it, because they need to feel as if, to feel special, which 99% of goal scorers, the really good ones, they need that to feed off that.
So Big Killen wouldn't have a problem, innit? but Burrow, what went wrong then? Did you miss the pressures? I say, like you say, that pressure. Did you miss it?
I'll tell you, the you missed the pressures of winning trophies. That was the biggest thing. That's what I missed. I missed the chance to winning trophies. But when I went down in the January, it was absolutely brilliant. Loved it. Brilliant club. Brilliant fans. Brilliant staff. And the Middlesbrough friends, they were absolutely terrific with me. I really enjoyed it. Loved it. And even to this day, I've got a lot of close friends there that are this day. And it was, like I say, it was the right time. It was the right time for me to go to Middlesbrough. And the club was just terrific. I just loved absolutely everything about it.
What did you think of the standard of the Championship?
It wasn't as good as what everybody makes out.
Nah.
Nowhere near it. Everybody thinks technically it's... But what you have got, you've got no difference in golf. You've got no... We played... At that time, we played Newcastle. Newcastle won the league. We drew two each with Newcastle. Newcastle were strong at that point. They had Kevin Nolan, Andy Carroll, Joey Barton was there at the time. There was good players at the time. And they were running away with the Championship. We played them and it was a really good game, to be fair, but it was two each, and it could have went either way. And then we played Plymouth away. Down there over Easter, you play Saturday, Monday. And we played Plymouth away, who were bottom of the league, and they absolutely battered us, and we managed to beat them 2-1. So the difference, any time you play in the Championship, after 90 minutes, you've got nothing left in the tank whatsoever. Yeah. Nothing left. Whereas when you play up here at Celtic or Rangers, you can dominate games, especially at home. Whereas down in the Championship, it was blood and guts and thunder, and certainly for a centre-half. At one point during the game, you'll play against somebody who's absolutely rapid and somebody who is massive, that can jump and heads it miles, which I loved, because I loved the competitiveness. And it's a really, really tough league to go out. You're full of really good players, good athletes, but definitely no, some very good football teams, but a lot of teams that just go
bang it.
Route one.
Uh-huh. Kevin Thompson thought maybe too many Scottish boys was part of the problem, that didn't know the league. Would you agree with that?
Possibly. Like I said, I'd come down in the January, so I knew what to expect, and I knew it was the right move for me, because I knew Gordon took me in after 2 weeks and was like, look, we want to sign you permanent. So I knew that there was a good chance that I was going to end up there, because like I say, I only went loan for the first 3 or 4 months and then signed permanent in the January. But I just wanted to go down there and play every week, and I'd done whatever I've always kind of tried to pride myself on, always being fit to train Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and playing a Saturday. That was, I always felt, if I wasn't doing that, I was going to be a bit of a fraud, and I never ever wanted to be that guy. I always wanted to be the one that people could rely on and say, no matter what happens, he's going to be there at 5-3, walking out the tunnel.
Because Middlesbrough had quite a lot of young players who had came through the system, didn't they? Mm-hmm. I know with myself, as a young player with Strachan, he was hard to take sometimes. Yeah. Did the younger boys struggle with
it? The boys at Middlesbrough struggled to take his intensity. Mm-hmm. I think because he's came from that intensity of Glasgow for 4 years and then getting into Middlesbrough. And I remember he phoned me and he was like, mate, you want to see what some of these boys are driving? They're all driving cars. He said, I don't know what the good players are driving. I don't know, Wayne Rooney and Cristiano Ronaldo are driving. That was just Gordon's, and that was his way. But brilliant club, loved it. Loved my time at Middlesbrough. And I've only got special memories and good thoughts and good times about the place.
Your ass must have fell out when Tony Mowbray got the job. What were you thinking?
I remember thinking, because the
pack the bags out back.
I remember the first team coach, Steve Agnew, Steve Bruce's assistant at Aston Villa now. And Agger's worked under Gordon at Middlesbrough as well. And then when Gordon left, Agger's obviously stayed with Tony and when Vino came in again. And I remember saying to Agger's, I'm saying, Agger's, surely Tony Mowbray's not going to get the job here. And they're saying, Mike, he's got it. So straight away, listen, I'm not going to make any bones about it. I'm sitting there thinking, saying, you couldn't get a bet on this. The manager who's got rid of you at Celtic is coming to take the club who you've just signed a 3-year contract with. I'm saying, it's just the worst thing. This is the worst news that I could ever imagine. But I'll tell you what, I said this to him, even at the time when I left, he was absolutely brilliant with me. He was, for the minute he walked in, and I'd say to him after 5 minutes, he came and spoke to me in the kit room, and he was like, Mick, how you doing? I said, Gaffer, look, I said, you know me, you know how, I said, if you're wanting me to go, I said, I'll...
You said that to him straight away, did you?
Aye. I said, look, if you want me to go, I'll go on the phone to my agent. He went, Mick, don't be daft, not at all. And Tony was brilliant at Middlesbrough. I really enjoyed working under him at Middlesbrough. The bottom line was he never rated me as much as other players, but he never ever treated me with disrespect. He never made me go and training. He was absolutely brilliant, and it's great to see him doing really well at Blackburn, because he's a proper bloke. Tony, you know, a real good family man, real good football man. So no complaints whatsoever about my time with him at all. He done well for Middlesbrough. Mm-hmm.
So why did you leave Middlesbrough?
Just it was the right time. I was there for 3.5 years. I knew the direction that the club were going to go in, and like I say, that was when I'd started coaching. My wife and kids had come back up the road in my last year at Middlesbrough. And I remember going to speak to Tony, and I said, look, I'm knowing that, because I went loan to Bristol City twice under Derek McInnes, which again, really enjoyed it. Come back to Middlesbrough, and Tony pulled me in and says, look, you're not going to be in my plans. I'm going to go a different route. And I said, look, I've got no problem with that at all. Because Dale got the sack and Sean O'Driscoll came in. And I'd say to him, look, my wife and kids are up the road. I would quite like in the future go into coaching. So Middlesbrough's academy is terrific. Really, really good people in charge. Dave Parnaby was the academy director at the time. And I went and spoke to him, and he said, look, you can come and work with our under-16s, a coach called Paul Jenkins, who I ended up working with. And I says to Tony, I says, look, I know in the Championship there's going to be at some point you're going to need me, so I'll always try and be as fit as I possibly can. I'll look after myself so that whenever you need me, and that's what happened. I think I ended up...
So you'd coach the kids instead of training?
No, I still trained, but they then trained at night, so right. So I went and helped them. And if there was a game on the Saturday, for example, and if Tony felt I wasn't going to be in the squad, if I was going to be the one that was left out, I said to him, look, don't take me up the length and breadth of the country. Unless, if I'm going to be on the bench, great, no problem. And true to his word, there was 2 or 3 times that he'd say, look, you're not going to be on the bench. So, and I says, well, look, can I go with the kids to... And went to Chelsea, went to Wolves, and it was brilliant. Really good experience. And I think he appreciated somebody that was honest and genuine and that had a view in what he was wanting to do in the future. So I would always thank him for that. And then, lo and behold, after about 3 weeks, I ended up back in the team and I ended up playing again. So it was...
How did Motherwell come about then?
It came about, again, I left, Tony pulled me in and says, look...
I'm getting the Motherwell job.
Well, no. He says to us, look, we're not going to offer you a new contract here. He says, but look, if you ever need anything, then please don't hesitate to pick up the phone, which, again, just showed the measure of him as a person, because you weren't in his team, you weren't the one that he relied on. And I says to him as soon as I left, I says, look, I wish you had hung your hat on me the way you've hung your hat on other players, because I wouldn't have let you down at any time. If I'd have let you down, it would have been through honesty and hard work and a genuine error, rather than somebody who wasn't a professional and never took his career that serious. So we shook hands, wished each other all the best, and I went on holiday with my wife and kids, and I got a phone call from Stuart McCall, or a text message to say, look, do you want to meet me for a coffee? And I says, look, I'm sorry, I'm in America. And he says, well, look, I'm in the apartments next door to you. I'll come pick you up. Aye.
Factor 70
for me. And by me.
No.
And Stuart came and picked me up. And I says to my wife, I was like, look, Stuart McCall's coming to pick me up. And my wife had no idea who Stuart, my wife's never, I think she's seen me play about 5 times in my full career. If you're lucky, she's never been into it. And then I told her it was a Motherwell manager, and I could see her kind of eyes kind of lit up, because I had been away from my wife and kids for the last year and a half. And I said, look, I'll wait 20 minutes. And I ended up sitting with him for about 2.5-3 hours. And after 5 minutes, I knew that I was going to sign for Motherwell.
Did you? Good guy.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Just, he's a real, real football guy. You know, that's what I'm saying. When I look back at the managers that I've played with, or played under, they're all similar. They're all similar because they're real good, genuine football men, which, and I don't know whether they took a shine to me because they've seen that in me, I've no idea, but they were, and Stuart's brilliant. Just the clip that you see him on the car on Bradford, that's him. That is him, absolutely brilliant. And if there's ever a manager you want to do well for, it's Stuart.
And if there's a manager you want to night out with, Stuart as well.
Oh, 100%. I don't mind.
What about the playoff games against Rangers? Dominated the two games.
We did, but horrible games to play in.
Was that the different side?
The difference of, folk ask me this all the time about pressure. Mm-hmm. What pressure would you rather have? Would you rather have the pressure of going to play in a game to win a title? Or would you rather go and play in a pressurised game to keep somebody on a job? 100% I'd rather play in a pressurised situation to win a league, because when you sign for a club like Motherwell, Motherwell's a brilliant, brilliant place to play, brilliant club, real good people, real good family values of the football club, but they rely so heavily on the team performing well. And that season you've got staff members for the club coming up and basically saying, look, we need you to win, because if you don't win and we get relegated, we're going to lose our jobs. And these people have been at the club for 12, 13, 14 years, so you're having to carry that as well. And these are the people that make the football club so special. You know, the kit man's been there for a long time, the secretary's been there for a long time, the ticket office staff, and they're real Motherwell people. And like I said, the fans have been terrific with me as well. And when I remember when I signed at Motherwell, I'd always say is that I wanted to go there and I didn't want to play 5 games and be injured for 20 games and lose my motivation. I wanted to go there and play every single week and try and contribute, because I knew I wasn't somebody who had come through the system there. Everybody knew where you had come through. Everybody knew who you've supported as a young boy. But the Motherwell fans were terrific with me. Even now, they're absolute, because I've went into work every single day, even now in the coaching role. And I go in and every single day I try and do the best that I possibly can, and I never leave a stone unturned. So with the pressure of the playoff games, it was really, really intense. And I remember the final whistle going, and just the relief was absolutely incredible. Mm-hmm. Absolutely incredible, because you felt as if you had kept these people in a job, and that's the difference of playing for people's livelihoods and the pressures of trying to win trophies.
Is it harder playing with players that aren't as good?
It's a difficult challenge, but again at Motherwell, I played with some really, really good players at Motherwell. That was the biggest thing for me going to Motherwell, because I went through and met Pat Fenlon at Hibs. He was quite keen to get me through to Hibs, and I just got a better feel that I would have been suited more at Motherwell, because there was experienced players that I felt were very similar to myself. You know, they were dedicated. They went into training every single day. Guys like Keith Lasley, Stephen Hamill, James McFadden, I knew was coming back. Stuart was obviously a massive factor, but it's a proper football club, run with good people, run with really, really good people, and it's great. It's a great environment to go and work in.
Obviously, you mentioned the coaching at Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
When you went to Motherwell, was that part of the deal with Stuart as well?
Or? No, Stuart. I said that to Stuart as soon as I went, and Stuart went, "You're not thinking about coming here to retire after a year." So he was like, "No, you're not doing that," which was fine, because like I say, I wanted to come. The biggest thing about signing for Motherwell, because I knew that the only way that I could gain people's respect coming as a senior player was to try and play the way that they were wanting, and try and be the kind of leader, be the kind of one of the kind of main players that people look up to. And you only did that by the way you conducted yourself on the pitch, off the pitch. Anytime you needed any help, you try to help people, because a lot of the young players there were trying to make their way in the game. So I felt there was a real responsibility to be the best that I could possibly be.
And obviously coaching now, going to be a manager, do you think?
Yeah, I'd like to give it a bash at one time. Mm-hmm. Just now I think it's really important that you learn your trade. You know, that was my options in the summer. Stephen Robinson was a massive, massive factor in me retiring.
What, he wanted you to retire?
Aye, I think so. he pulled me in because he'd just come back, obviously, when Mark left, because I ended up getting 2 groin surgeries. Actually, my last competitive games against Celtic, and I lasted 2 minutes, went to play a pass, and I could feel my groin had come off the bone straight away. So I knew I needed, but I still had a year left playing. So I was hoping to get to the pre-season. And when Stephen went and get the job, he says, look, I want you to be part of my staff. And I says, well, look, it's a big, big thing for me to walk away from a year's playing when I still feel as if I'm fit enough and that I've looked after myself that I can play for another year. So I says, look, let's reassess it in the summer. I reassessed it in the summer and I played the game against Edinburgh City. And after 10 minutes in the game, I knew that was me.
Is that a horrible feeling, eh?
It wasn't a great feeling, knowing that my options were, again, the manager was saying to me, look, we want you part of the staff. So I'm reading between the lines here saying, listen, this is brilliant that the manager's want me to be part of his staff, but this is him in a polite way saying, listen, you're going to be absolutely miles off it this year. So I kind of read the signs. And I knew my options then would be, do I stay at Motherwell and be a bit part player, or do I leave and play in the drop down a division, maybe play with somebody in the lower ebbs of the SPFL. And like I say, I just felt I wanted to, I always looked at players, other players that had retired, and I always wanted to be the one that decided to call it a day. And know if somebody, they say, look, we're not offering you a new contract and your career kind of fizzled out. That was something that right at the start of my career, I always had aspirations of being able to do that. And I felt I had earned the respect to be able to do that. So, and the coaching side of it is the natural progression for me. Yes, I want to become a manager at some point, but I think it's really important that you learn your trade. I don't believe all coaches can manage, but I certainly believe all managers should be able to coach. So I think it's a great opportunity that the club have given me just now, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm working with really good staff, with Stephen Robinson, Keith Lasley, Stephen Craigan, myself, Craig Hinchcliffe. It's a new staff that's been built at Motherwell, but it also gives me an opportunity to try and do things and put a stamp on the younger age groups that I'm working with just now, between the 20s and the under 18s.
Brilliant, Mick. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. Cheers.